All right, Dieter Kurtenbach and Logan Murdoch with an emergency. Steph is back, and so is our interest podcast here on Warriors HQ. But the losing is still with the Golden State Warriors. They fall to the Detroit Pistons, 111-102. Logan, before we get into the nitty-gritty, your initial thoughts on Saturday's contest?
The Warriors need a center, and they need a floor, and they need someone that's a floor spacer other than their top-heavy guys. I feel like this is like a broken record, but
yeah, pretty much.
I mean, this is kind of that's what I gathered watching tonight's game. It was a rough watch.
We're gonna get into both of those things because they are. I totally agree with you on both points. That's the big issue for this team. There's a couple other things that stood out. The thing that stood out to me most, maybe in this game, was just that like Steph Curry looked rusty, which I think we could all have predicted. Like the guy was off for 11, 12 games. He wasn't going to just come back in and be like Wardell the Wizard all over again. I was actually impressed, though, with the Warriors. They played pretty slow. It wasn't that fun of a game to watch, if we're being totally honest. But like, it didn't seem like there was any issue reintegrating him. And I'm always watching Kevin Durant and Steph, and the offense seemed to flow just fine. Like, there was no Durant post-up stuff that they were doing in opposition to the Steph free-flowing stuff. It all seemed to mesh together pretty well, and that's a good sign. As soon as Steph gets... I mean, Steph was, like, not shooting three-pointers that he was open for. Like, that's the kind of rust we're talking about.
So when you have Kevin going, around. Like, yo, you're the best shooter of all time with his arms, like, waved up. You know, it was
there was some weirdness to it. I want to gauge your thoughts on this. I thought Klay Thompson was pretty good in this game, but I'm starting to get a bit concerned about Klay overall. And this is something that's not brought up a lot because we know that Klay wants to re-sign with the Warriors. But he is playing a bit of a contract year game, a lot of mid-rangers, a lot of looking for his own shots, not necessarily being within the flow of the offense. It's still there. I'm not saying that he's hero balling it or anything, but he'll try to create a little bit more for himself. He's certainly penetrating more, which is sometimes a good thing. But you know, he's kind of got his game back on track a little bit. He was really bad. The three-point shot still isn't there, but he only took 5 threes in this game. And the Warriors only took 26 threes. Meanwhile, the Pistons took 35. And the Warriors are not shooting enough threes in general. They never really shot that many threes, but like they're not shooting as much as opponents that don't shoot a lot of them. And Klay has got to be the guy who's taking those, and I think that maybe he's out of his element a little bit right now because he's kind of looking to score out of the mid-range. He's doing a little bit of a Kevin Durant impersonation. While he could probably pull it off, that's not how he's best used on this team.
No, I think that, well, one, he's kind of had to get his own shot with Steph out a lot of the times. In these last couple games. So, I mean, that's a part of the integrating process with getting Steph back in there, is him going back to, my old role. But right. I think that there's a lot to be said for when Steph is out of the game. It took a few games for him to get back into the mode of where, oh, I need to get my shots this way.
Right.
Whereas, and I think it's more of a byproduct of that more so than anything than it being a contract year. Because he's going to get paid no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
He's fine. I don't think that he's worried about that. I think it's more of a byproduct of Steph being out and him having to like, oh, I got to get my shots this way. And it took him like 4 games to do that when Steph was out.
But like, let's be honest though, he was kind of doing this when Steph was playing originally. Like, he's taking more mid-range shots than anyone not named Kevin Durant and DeMar DeRozan. Like, he's shooting
a lot. To be fair though, when to begin the season, his three-point shot was about as broke as mine.
Well, it's still pretty broke if we're being honest. 1 for 5 tonight. I mean, it's gotten better, but that's not exactly a high bar.
Yeah, but I do think in this instance, and over the, at least as of late, it's been a byproduct of that's how the shots that he has had to get. With Steph out of the lineup, because he's not gonna get no easy shots with Steph out of the lineup like he is. He's gonna have to get those mid range shots. He's gonna have to go to the cup more. I think it's a byproduct of that.
He's shooting 34% from three, and like 3-4% of that alone is that game against Chicago, which wasn't much of a contest, if we're being totally honest.
We're
24 games in. He's shooting like in the mid-30s. He looks that's like subpar for like a decent shooter, much less one of the greatest shooters of all time.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I can't really. We'll have to see what happens coming forward. Obviously, this stretch is really important for the Warriors in a lot of ways. It's a stretch that You know, Steph is going to have to get integrated. This is the thing that we all expect them to make some sort of run with them.
Right.
All in the, so I think this is enough. This will probably give the most clear gauge of where they're at right now. And I think Klay Thompson shooting, we're going to see that going forward
right.
with Steph back in the lineup.
Hard to judge. When Steph's not doing what Steph usually does, it's hard to really judge what Klay Thompson does. He's sort of an ancillary figure there. The Warriors.
I have a question for you.
Yeah. Hit me.
I have a question for you. After tonight's game, Steve Kerr had some interesting comments. He said that he had one of his worst coaching performances in like since he's been a coach.
Yeah.
But then went on to say that it has to do with lack of spacing, and I don't think that's a Steve Kerr thing, and I don't think that's a Steve Kerr problem. The lack of spacing. They said he's tired. He said, "quote I'm tired of seeing three guys in the paint when guys are during the offense." And I'm like, "Well, you don't really have."
Where the hell are those guys? Other guys supposed to go? They can't knock down an outside shot.
Where like that gets to my perimeter thing, and I want to hear your thoughts on this. But it seems like that's more of a byproduct of the guys that he just has on this team. Not a lot of guys other than their top heavy guys can shoot the ball like that.
For sure.
And there's not a lot of guys other than your guy, Jarebko. I've just bestowed him as your guy.
Thank you.
Who can really space the floor that not named, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry,
you're talking about the
Kevin Durant.
Like, obviously the All-Stars can space it. Like, and this problem doesn't get any better when Draymond comes back, by the way.
It doesn't.
It might get worse. At least Draymond will stand there. They want him to stand there. It's interesting. I asked Steve something similar to this right before they played the Bucks and they got their ass kicked by the Bucks, and then Steph got injured and the whole world changed, right?
Yeah.
I asked Steve about, pardon me, if he ever chuckled or if he ever looked at how the league has changed so much in the last 4 or 5 years since the Warriors started doing what the Warriors do. And how everyone's playing 4 and 5 out now, and how the entire game is about three-pointers, and the Warriors get a lot of credit for that. And he's always said, no, the Suns deserve a lot of credit for that, and we stole Mike D'Antoni's stuff, and we stole Alvin Gentry's stuff when he was an assistant with us, and like we get more credit than we deserve for that. And he said something interesting when I asked him that, kind of the same question for about the 10,000th time since I've been covering this team. And he goes, we've never really played five out. We get a lot of credit for playing five out because we have Steph and Clay and Kevin. And when you have guys who can knock down threes from so far away and at such an incredibly efficient clip, you get credit for being a better three-point shooting team than you actually are. But they have always been carried both statistically and in theory from beyond the arc by those three guys and an offense that moves the ball.
Have a rebuttal to that, though.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, I want to hear it.
I think that also, while he's right on that, these past two seasons, there have not been any, guy that can, even shoot a three on a consistent basis. And on the 2016-17, they miss Barbosa. They miss Ian Clark.
I suggested an Ian Clark trade, a couple weeks back.
You did. But, they thought that Nick Young, Swaggy P, was going to be that. They thought
he certainly spaced. He didn't do shit else, but he spaced.
He did space. He did space, and he gave great quotes. So
if they were attached to reality, but they were excellent for content.
Yeah, but I just think that that's also a difference, though, right? You have perimeter guys off the bench that can score, and they just don't have that. Last year, they just didn't have that either. They had it in spurts when they sometimes.
They also had a great system with that second unit where the offense ran through David West. And listen, there were a lot of games when it's like this is not working, and you were just biding time until Steph came back. And that top unit was so excellent they could get away with being a minus 10 for the first half of the second quarter, first half of the fourth quarter, if the fourth quarter mattered. They had a system. They knew what they were doing with that unit. Sometimes it worked really well. This year, they don't know what the hell that second unit is. I don't know if they've really gotten that good of a chance to figure out what it is, but it's come back to the same thing we talked about last time we were on. Like, Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston have not been good this year, and I don't have a lot of faith that either of them are going to up their games anytime soon, and you're relying on them. They're the middle class of this team. They're the only two members of the middle class of this team. Maybe Jarebko. Maybe my guy Jarebko. But, Jarebko's on a minimum contract, and he's a floor spacing at the four, and he got played off the floor against Detroit, which weird matchup, I get it, all that stuff, but like his defense wasn't good enough to hang around with Blake Griffin, which no one really would expect, but like, I don't know, they've been kind of getting more than they thought they were getting with him for a while now in that regard, and teams are going to start to pinpoint him a little bit more.
What do you think? Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I just think that those guys need to step up because, you know, they were getting so much from Alphonso McKinney. Now he's not there. That's it. Like, you can't expect Damian Lee to, like, do anything for you. You need your middle class to step up a little bit so that you can tread water.
We will not take Damian Lee slander on this podcast.
I'm not trying to slander the guy. What I'm trying to say is, like, we know what Damian Lee is. Like, I'm glad that he's on this team. Like, I think he's a nice guy. Right. I think that he has a skill set that is useful in certain scenarios, but, like, come on, if you're counting on Damian Lee, a guy on a two-way contract with limited athleticism and who's just going to chuck it and isn't necessarily the most efficient dude in the world at chucking it, who needs a system to even get up that shot, like, you're going to be on the struggle bus. They need to be able to tread water when more than, you know, one or two of their top guys isn't on the court. They need to be able to do something when it's just Clay out there. And to this point, they haven't because Iguodala and Livingston haven't given them much.
And so where do you think they find that going forward? Do you think it's going to be, oh, but McKinney's just going to be, huh?
I don't think they do.
You don't?
No, I think that they take, I think that they take on water and then they blow teams out of the water when they have their four or five best on. The only way that they can get something out of the second unit or the theoretical second unit or whatever we're going to call it, that's beginning of the second quarter group, is if they play boogie with it. They stagger it, or he comes off the bench or whatever, and they make him the offensive fulcrum of that group, which I think is the way to go about it, but, like, there's also promises that have been made, apparently.
Yeah. But we'll see what happens, man. But another thing that I want to touch on, and this has to do with the front court.
Yeah.
Damian Jones, he is getting an MRI on his shoulder.
Did you see what happened? Like, I don't even know what happened.
Apparently, I was watching NBC. Apparently, he got into it. I think it was something with Andre Drummond.
Well, no. Drummond is a brick house, man. You want to talk about
a rebound or something like that, and he just went down in the third quarter. And
we kind of laugh like how Damian Jones is like he's sculpted out of marble. He's 7'1". Like, he's like the perfect specimen of a basketball player. Like, Andre Drummond is not a perfect specimen of anything, but that dude is like that dude has the weight of a star. Like, he is a dense being, and that's how he gets 18 rebounds a game. He's incredible to watch. He's like a 6'10 bowling ball. It's really quite awesome.
Yeah. But the thing was, say if Damian Jones, shout out Andre Drummond for being that guy, but
yeah,
say if Damian Jones can't go, that's a two center rotation right now, and probably Jarebko being the five. How do you see that going?
I think it solves a problem for the Warriors. I mean, Jones has been lost minutes. They got to figure crap out. And they need to be playing Looney the majority of the minutes at center because he's their best center. I know that doesn't do a lot for you or anybody because Kevon Looney doesn't get anyone excited. But, like, Kevon Looney.
Except you.
Except me, because, like, I'm all about that New Balance, you know, Sunday afternoon church game that he's got going on. Like, yes.
We know how excited you were with
set shots, baby.
No, with Hazonia dunking on Giannis today. I saw you.
I just thought it was hilarious that there was like beef there, and then I like found out that the beef had to do with like a FIBA game like 6 years ago, and also that Hazonia scored only one basket in the game, and it was the game.
And that was it.
That was it.
And he's talking trash like he couldn't make it to New York.
And also this SOB is wearing full long sleeves like. Again, New Balance Church on Sunday game.
Did he just become your favorite player?
No, like I don't know if I'm supposed to love him or hate him, but I'm certainly going to pay attention to him. Like this guy is out of his gourd. I was always high on Hazonia when he was with Orlando. I thought that it would come around, but like I don't think he has it going on between the ears. If we're going to be totally honest, because that was stupid. Nevertheless,
all right. That was your Hazonia hour, but
Hazonia back to, hour only, back to, only on the Warriors HQ podcast. If you wonder how long my columns are before I edit them down, now you have a better idea.
Thanks.
No, like Looney's the best center on this team. You kind of know what you're getting. You're getting this hit or miss, and it's a lot more misses than you're getting hits with Bell. today was a very interesting, like, I actually thought Mark Medina, our esteemed colleague and Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News, put it perfectly. Like, all the centers showed exactly why the Warriors like them and why the Warriors don't like them in the exact same game. It was just, it was a cacophony of highlights and lowlights.
A cacophony.
Yeah, yes. Sorry. Yeah.
You did
not
that.
Not your thesaurus, kids.
No, but it was crazy, like the Jordan Bell play where he misses, he airballed
it by like a good foot and a half.
Listen, which made me feel like a little comfortable because I do that a lot in pickup. But
you got
he goes. And
I don't think you did the second part.
No, I didn't do the second part. He makes an incredible block,
chase down block, just like picked it out of the air, knocked it 10 rows back.
That was incredible.
And then he did one of those awesome, like, save the ball, kept it in play. Didn't mean anything, but like
fake hustle. I mean, I don't know.
That was not fake hustle. That was like legit hustle.
No. But I don't. I know what you mean. I make fun of him about this too. Just fake. Like it was incredible.
That's like the big thing with the Warriors coaching staff. They fake hustle. These guys are all, you know, a bunch of tryhards and this and that. And like that is the one thing that Steve Kerr like really can't stand is a bunch of guys trying too hard to get noticed and crap like that. So fake hustle has a very pejorative connotation inside of the Warriors locker room. But that was a really good play. Yeah. He goes two rows in. You go, this is a like, you know exactly what Jordan Bell is. He's an energy center, right? And he played a little bit of the four today, but he is an energy five who's going to, if you need to get the ball unstuck, if you need to get up and down the court and you just want to blow some crap up for like 2 minutes and just see what the hell happens on the other side of it, he's your dude. And he can still do that. The problem is if you have to play him for more than those spurts, he's also going to do a lot of stuff that is just like, man, how long? Listen, I know he's in his second year, but like you've played in the NBA finals. You would think that this would be getting better, but it isn't.
But I think also like what helped him in the finals is he played these concentrated minutes, right? Where, you know, they need him to do certain things. And I mean, when, like you just said, when you have him, they did in the finals, which you just said that he's effective in.
Which, by the way, he had Draymond next to him there. And again, I've beaten this drum 1,000 times. I think the skin's about to break, but like Draymond cleans up everything. And if you just have Draymond, Draymond can be the chaos guy, or he can be the guy who makes everything look like it's going smoothly while chaos is happening around him. That is an incredible skill set. And Jordan Bell really struggles on the defensive side, or at least it's more noticeable his struggles on the defensive side when Draymond's not in there. And Draymond ain't in there.
So what do you see if Jones is out, I don't know, a game or two.
Yeah, who knows?
However, where do you see Steve going with these matchups?
I think he just run Looney for 30 minutes a game.
I mean, I'm not talking about you coaching the team, dude. I'm talking about
I think he runs Looney for 30 minutes a game.
You would play Kevon Looney 38 minutes a game.
I get that. Like you work, you know, he's an unrestricted free agent. Like you're going to run those hips right off. But I think you just have to keep playing Looney. Like you never, John Gruden once said you can never go broke making a profit. And I'm pretty sure he invented that phrase and no one else had ever used it before him. But he really likes to use it for his quarterbacks. You never go broke making a profit. And that means he wants an unspectacular quarterback who's just going to keep moving the ball 4 yards down the field. Kevon Looney is that quarterback. Like you do not need, you're never going to get, he might have a really cool rebound that's worth like 8 yards. Like that's it.
Are you calling him the Chad Pennington of basketball players?
Yeah, well, Chad Pennington like was the last guy to beat the Dolphins or beat the Patriots for the AFC East. So let's go with that. Like Kevon Looney is a dude, and he is going to give you solid minutes. He got pretty screwed over by the refs tonight. If I'm being totally honest, there were two fouls that were kind of ridiculous against him. That was not a well officiated game, in my opinion. It didn't really, you know, who cares? But like still. You play Looney, you go for Bell for spurts. I don't know if you go to Jonas. I would try some KD at the five just for fun. But it might push Draymond into the lineup sooner. Like, I don't know how that looks.
I was going to go into that. Like, he talked pregame in Detroit today, and it was weird because it seems like it's the classic clash of like, yo, he wants to get in. Like, I want to get back in the game. And it's
Draymond's willing to play with a broken arm, though.
That's true. But it seems like, is it weird to you that the super training staff is like, hold on, bro, you're not as good as you think you are. or no, it wasn't that. I'm not going to agree. The way Draymond characterized it was he needs to get his win back. So,
okay. That makes sense.
Which does make sense. That's how he characterized it.
But that means he's got to get on the court.
Right.
And that's his argument.
Are you concerned at all with how this is lingering at all?
I mean, you should be. I mean, this is the big concern. It should concern Draymond Green more than it should concern anybody else because it's his money we're talking about here. Like,
right.
Draymond was injured for 75% of all of last season. His elbow was disgusting. His shoulders were broke. He was a mummy after every shoot-around, practice, scrimmage, whatever. The man was just covered in ice for like 25% of his day. Right. So, and he got through it. And then what's the first thing that happened this year? Like, he's healthy, this is, and it's like, okay, well, now you're kind of like, maybe he got through that all, and then this toe thing happens, and it's not getting any better. And it's like, okay, you know, it might be a one-off, but at the same time, like, this dude plays so hard, it's hard to imagine that his body is going to cooperate with him.
Right. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens, because it's like, They do need Draymond back in that lineup.
They've needed him long before Damian Jones went out. Like, and that's kind of the point that I failed to make myself. Like, Jones has been not good for a bit now, and frankly, on any other team, he would be at the end of the bench.
Yeah.
Like,
are you saying my stock is going down?
Your stock has almost no value right now.
Okay.
All right. And like that, it sucks. Like, but again, it goes back to the same thing. He's the only center under contract. For next year.
Also the only one that you can put in a big lineup.
I mean, I don't know.
Quite honest.
Yeah, you had to play him against Detroit.
Yeah.
To be fair. Yes. Yeah. Like, they would have been eaten alive. I mean, they tried Jonas Kerebko at the four, and that worked out for a grand total of 10 seconds.
So they
have some issues. They also have Boogie Cousins coming. And who knows what Boogie Cousins is going to look like. But he's coming. We're in December, and Boogie Cousins is going to play in December by all accounts, by your account. You'll go with your theory.
I said after Christmas. I did not say December, guys.
Yeah, that could also be March. I mean, that could also be like
July. You know what I mean?
Technically, we're after Christmas from last year.
Yeah.
Every day is after Christmas.
Touche. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens, man. Also, man. This is looking out. They need to get some perimeter guys on. I know we're just banging this drum, but they need to.
Do you think that this is something that they go out and make a trade? Like, what? I don't know. Like, I don't think that they feel that much stress about it.
I don't think that they feel that much stress about it either, but I do think that it's something that they could explore maybe in the offseason. You know what I mean? Like,
well, in the offseason, like, they might have to be exploring a lot more than just getting a perimeter guy. They might be – like, hey, you know how we lost Kevin Durant? We might want to replace that. Yeah. Oh, Clay's Dieter, leaving too?
Hey, Dieter, get in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go take this league minimum, baby.
Everyone who dropped $80,000 for a PSL at the Chase Center, here's your starting four, Dieter Kurtenbach, as he gets winded after four trips down the court.
He's leading the second unit. He's Dieter West.
Marcus Derrickson, your starting center, ladies and gentlemen.
Oof, no, sorry. Man.
I like Marcus Derrickson because he has a very similar game to mine. Very, very high center of gravity. Doesn't like to go underneath the hoop, despite the fact that he's usually the biggest guy on the floor. Yeah, that's my kind of guy.
Yikes. Well, let's go. let's do stock report and let's get out of here.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So,
what stock is looking good? Do we have any stock that's looking good besides Kevon Looney stock?
Well, I mean, and that's the one we're sharing. I think Jarebko still on. I mean, Jarebko had a bad night tonight, but he's been playing really well. So your stock's going
for
up
sure,
there, buddy.
For sure.
Jordan Bell.
I guess it has to go up. I mean, it has to be a speculative up just on the notion that he has to get more playing time now.
Okay, so I'm good with that. My guy, Jordan Bell.
Most people would be shorting it, but like Tesla stock, it's only what the market declares it's worth.
Okay, so we got – okay, so your guy, Jarebko, was up. My guy, Jordan Bell, was up. The guy we share, Kevon Looney, is steady.
Steady, if not a little bit up. I don't know. I mean, what did you think of Kevon's game against the Pistons overall?
I think he was what he was, man. I mean, like, you can only expect. He's about where he's been all season. You know what I mean? Like, He's the most steady guy that they have.
Damned if he ain't consistent and completely unspectacular.
But the also but
mad
the
respect
best
to that. Like,
have.
Yeah, no, like,
the best big they have.
Telling Kevon Looney would be like, yeah, I know I'm unspectacular. Like, there's no this is that's not a slight. Like, I'm not throwing shade at the guy. Like, it's pretty obvious that like he's not spectacular. He's just out there doing competent stuff. He is the team's accountant.
Yes. You have so much love for Kevon. Like, I almost might sell my stock to you because you just off the love of that.
You know that you have a very very motivated buyer. I'm sure you can get more than it's actually worth at this juncture.
Yeah, and Damian Jones is just at the bottom right now, and he's
it's looking rough, man. There were a couple of flashes in this game, to be fair. And had he finished that dunk over,
oh, his stock would have been, no matter what he did for the rest of the game, it would have skyrocketed.
Like,
no matter what he would have done,
it was pretty incredible. It was interesting though how many times Kevin Durant just decided, I'm going to spoon feed this child. And like,
well,
it worked.
You know what's interesting? They did that in the preseason a lot, and I think they got away from that because remember, like, yeah, during the preseason,
for sure,
Clay would have like a drive and he would just throw it up
Clay
to
is
DJ
not a good lob passer, by the way. Like, for all of his skills, not that great.
I will say this though, with a guy like Damian,
doesn't matter.
Those are the greatest plays. No. I'm just saying those are the greatest plays when he finishes. You know how many
bad lobs
that I've seen Quinn Cook give Damian Jones in Santa Cruz last year? Like,
I don't want to know, man. That sounds depressing.
Oh, man. It was awesome.
What's the name of that hotel down in Santa Cruz?
Oh, God. What is it? The something sweets and in? Like the
Seafoam?
Yeah, something like that. Somewhere I've never stayed, but
oh, rough.
I don't want to bash Santa Cruz because I do love it there. They have some great food in arena food.
In arena, like, food. Oh, this is a Logan Murdoch like special. Like, Steph's into his popcorn, Medina's into his Wi-Fi, and you're into the in arena food.
Yeah, and I'm not into the Oracle Arena in arena food, but
nope. We'll see what's going
Newton,
on with Chase.
Shout out Newton's. Shout out Newton's. I just want to say a quick shout out to Newton's. I don't know what that's going to do, but I'm trying to, like, yo, man, let's build.
Yeah. When they do the Chase Center tour with the food tour, and someone has to go Darren Rovell, I nominate you.
Oh, I'm gonna. I'll do it for free. Like, yo.
Oh yeah, no question. I'll pay for the rights.
For shizzle. Anyway, but like, I don't even know where we got them. But Damian Jones. I just think that they. I mean, if you could, like, I think if just give him a little confidence, throw the ball up to him, like, he is a young player in what is, in some respects, like his rookie year. Like, throw him some passes, get his confidence straight. That's what happened in the Kings game. He was getting the ball early and balling. So, if there's any.
He was also going up against Willie Cauley-Stein, who isn't exactly Andre Drummond.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know how to put it.
Even when you, like, want to avoid just throwing shots, it's the king, so you do it.
I mean, listen. No one is banging the drum harder for me than me when it comes to the Kings. Like, I love the way that the Kings are playing. I'm down a Willie Cauley-Stein guy.
That playoff series is just dwindling out of our fingertips. So
I want that 1-8. It doesn't have to go very long. 4 games.
Listen,
but
well,
like,
I mean, the Warriors are fourth right now. Can the Warriors get to the 1 seed first? Can they dethrone the Clippers?
I feel fairly confident. Despite all of the shade that we're throwing at the Golden State Warriors and how Steve Kerr has decided that he's the world's worst coach,
I don't believe that. But I
no, yeah, I think when, I think your point
say,
is right. Like,
say,
what the hell is he supposed to do?
Like, when you say I had a bad coaching performance, but my roster, the way my roster is set up,
Steve says that sometimes just to like deflect blame.
Oh yeah, which makes him a good coach. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but like. I don't listen, and I will. I have been more than on the ready to bash Steve Kerr. I mean, I wrote a scathing column after Game 7 of the 2016 NBA Finals that was on Kerr. I've called him out on rotations, all this stuff. I certainly couldn't coach the team better than him, but like, I am not someone. I think Steve is a brilliant coach. I think he's a great guy. I think he's a tremendous basketball mind and a better communicator. At the same time, he's not infallible, and I'll call him out on that. But like, and it wasn't a good game. The rotations were weird. He never really figured it out. But so much of that game was just like, oh, Steph's back. Everything's going to be easy now. And they stopped working.
Mm-hmm.
they just kind of just went, they just went through it, and they're like, no, don't worry. Steph's going to figure, like, Steph's back. Everything's fine. And then it's like, no, like, the Pistons are good, and your bench sucks. And, like,
yeah,
like, Steph's not just going to fix this. It's going to take a little bit of work. Not a lot, but a little bit, and that's going to take some time to come together. But here's the good news. They have the Hawks and the Cavaliers next, so if it doesn't come together in those two games, we can start panicking.
All right. But until then, I am Logan Murdoch. This is Dieter Kurtenbach. Do you have any parting words?
Parting words? Oh, man. Other than Kevon Looney, unspectacular and steady.
Okay. Well, before we get out here, I'm going to pick up some wings, and I'm going to keep listening to this Meek Mill album.
Is it any good? Is it done yet?
I'll be real with you. It is done. It came out. Come on, dog. You are not tapped into the streets.
No. Dude. No one ever accused me of being...
Listen, it came out Thursday night, bro.
Yeah, I know.
Telling you in the last, we actually had a Meek Mill reference in the last podcast.
I know.
I told you.
I was told that it was a very long album. That was the joke.
Oh, okay. I mean, if you have to explain the joke, it's not very good.
Well,
anyway,
if I'm talking about modern rap or streetwear, then I'm probably going to have to explain it because everyone's going to be wondering what the hell happened.
All right. Anywho, quick review of the Meek Mill album. It is okay. Like, it's all right. I'm not the biggest Meek fan. But the Jay-Z verse.
Who do you know? I heard the Jay-Z verse. It is pretty. It's very good. Who is a big Meek Mill fan?
Philadelphians. Lou Williams.
Lou Williams' three girlfriends.
I'm not touching that one. But Jay-Z, apparently. I mean, I'm not like Meek Mill has a fan base, but like I'm just not one of them. I'm sure he has. Obviously has a huge fan base. I'm just not like. I'm not a stand for Meek Mill, but
I'm happy
with everything that he's doing right now as far as the social justice initiatives, you know,
hanging out with rich white guy owners of sports teams.
Yeah. But also like, I think it was a good album for him. I hope he recouped. I'm just going to listen to this Jay-Z verse on a loop and
over
that's
and over
what I'm
going
to do, man. I'm going to get some chicken wings. So
what's your wing spot? Are you in SF or Oakland?
I am north of that, extremely north. I'm not going to give up my location right now,
gotcha.
But I am north, and there is a Buffalo Wild Wings near, and I have made an online order. So
okay, you got
to
get out of here. Let's drop this before it gets any worse. Logan, yeah. I'll talk to you on the other side, buddy.
Peace.